So I think you've spoken Gaelic all your life, have you?
I have spoken Gaelic all my life. I'm a Gaelic speaker from the island of Tiree, and I'm what they call a native speaker. I was brought up with the language. I don't remember ever learning the language. It was always part of me. From my earliest days, my earliest moments, really. My parents were both Gaelic speakers. My father, a very fine Gaelic speaker, he had been brought up as a boy in Falkirk until he was 6 years of age or so, and then he went to Tiree. He went to Tiree because his parents were immigrating to Vancouver, and they took the rest of the family with them to Vancouver, and my father was to go later on, but he never went. And he stayed with his grandparents, his maternal grandparents in Tiree. He had a great love of Tiree even as a small boy, before he went there. And he used to go for his holidays to Tiree, and he would even run away from home in Falkirk and go up to Falkirk High Station and ask for a ticket to Tiree. He loved Tiree, and so his parents left him there with his maternal grandparents when they immigrated to Vancouver. So he was the last of the Meek family to remain in Scotland. But when he went to Tiree, he lost all his English and became a naturalised Gaelic speaker. My mother was brought up in Glasgow of Skye parents in Maryhill, and she had a very, very good head knowledge of Gaelic. And she heard it in the home and so on, but she didn't speak it very fluently until she went to Tiree. And there she went to Tiree during the Second World War to work with the Air Ministry and met my father. My father was then a Baptist minister, and he served in the islands and the Inner Hebrides. When they married, they were originally in Port Ellen in Islay, but came back to Tiree to look after the older people there. And my mother simply had to use Gaelic. She had to use the language, and she became completely fluent. So I had two parents who were fluent Gaelic speakers, both of them from the lowlands. My father born in Falkirk and my mother born in Glasgow. And I myself was born in Glasgow, and I'm still nevertheless a Gaelic speaker. In the home as well in Tiree, we had a lot of old people, and they went back to the 19th century. They were born in the last quarter of the 19th century. The result of that was that I had a wonderful Gaelic upbringing, hearing the rich Gaelic of the 19th century in Tiree, and that kind of Gaelic commanded all the registers, and they were just natural to me, and it was a wonderful upbringing. And I went to school almost completely Gaelic speaking. My mother tried to teach me a few words of English, but I was very resistant, and I can still remember being very cross as a boy, a wee boy, trying to get my tongue around English words. I didn't think English was of any value or any significance. I was a Gaelic speaker, and that was that. And I went to school Gaelic speaking, and I was plunged into an ocean of English. The school was like an island of English in a sea of Gaelic, if you see it the other way. The community was completely Gaelic speaking, and you went in to be taught in another tongue. And I remember my first days in school, they were awful because I was completely out of my cultural context. And Gaelic was very useful because I remember well coming out of the school and just having a go at the teacher, you know, and cursing the teacher in Gaelic. I can still remember it as a 5 or 6 year old, the vehemence with which I poured myself out, really, linguistically, against the teacher. It was awful. I felt we were, we'd just gone into another culture completely. That was the primary school.
Yeah, it's awful.
And that was the way it worked. I mean, to have had a teacher with no Gaelic actually teaching in a primary school was, and my looking back on it now, ridiculous. And I fairly hated primary school, except when we had Gaelic speaking teachers who would be in as relief teachers, some of them from Tyree. And they were wonderful. Mm. They were so different in their approach to the children. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
So I was brought up completely Gaelic speaking, and I tended to use Gaelic all the time to my father. And I used a lot of English to my mother latterly because I associated English with her. She tried to teach me English.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, both my parents were very, very proud of Gaelic.
Yeah.
They always said it's a tremendous thing to be bilingual and we value Gaelic, and they did. And I think opting into Gaelic in some ways for them was quite special.
Mm-hmm.
They saw it as something they could have lost, not had.
Mm-hmm.
And they realised how valuable it was, and they instilled that into me from the very beginning, and always kept the Gaelic flag flying, even when, you know, the schools were difficult and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's been passed on to the next generation. My older daughter, she's a completely fluent, natural Gaelic speaker, although she was brought up on the east coast of Scotland, and she's quite a zealot for Gaelic, quite enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And my second daughter, who's a medical student, she's also Gaelic speaking, but tends to see Gaelic more as a very useful language if you happen to have older people from the islands in the hospital.
Yes.
So the language in our family has had a very interesting configuration.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really gone by the normal the normal pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in touch with the lowlands all the time, and yeah. Working with the lowlands, and it's been interesting, and that has made me see Scotland in the round. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed that, you know, Scotland. Once I got into lowland Scotland, that was good. Once I made my peace with that, it was quite a natural thing for me, and I've enjoyed the fun of Scotland's different languages and the relationships to one another. It's been great fun.
Because you've lived in the northeast as well.
Yes, I've lived in different parts. I was educated at local school and Tyree, and then I went to Oban for my formal education after O grades, the standard grades. And then I went to Glasgow University, then I went to Cambridge University. So I was in England for a while. And then back to Scotland to work in Glasgow, and I've worked in the universities of Glasgow and Edinburgh, but also Aberdeen. Mm. And I was in Aberdeen as Professor of Celtic for 9 years. And that was very interesting. When I went there, I said, it'll be good to see Scotland from another angle. And that was exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Found it very, very useful experience, particularly being exposed to Northeast Scots or Doric. I found that very interesting because that was so distinctive in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get away from it. It was a living language there. And during our time in Aberdeen, we lived in West Hill, which is about 7 miles out of Aberdeen. Because we were so far west, we were into the country, and if we had tradesmen or anyone around coming to do a job, then we sure heard Doric.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned to understand it. We understood it by the time we left 9 years later pretty well.
Yeah.
I was also fascinated by the way in which people related to me. Although they would deny that Gaelic was ever in Aberdeenshire, this was a very popular misconception, there were knowing people who would accept me very readily because I had a crofting, farming background.
Mm.
And it was very similar to what was going on in rural Aberdeenshire.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very good relationship with people. I often remember my friendship with Robbie Shepherd, who came from Dunecht, which was just a mile or two down the road from West Hill, and I was often there. Robbie is well known for his work with Scottish music and his presentation of Tap the Floor with Robbie Shepherd. And he was very much aware of my Gaelic cultural background, but also of the social background from which I came. Mm-hmm. We often used to talk about that. He could empathise with me very readily.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know Scots there, and I loved the different dialects, different sounds. I mean, they were quite distinctive. The further north you went, towards the Brough and the fishing ports of the northeast, I would have said the more obviously Doric speaking the area became.
Mm-hmm.
I was also aware too of Aberdeen Tún and how a form of Scots was spoken there. I used to be very amused with some of the Aberdeen Doric speakers who would conceal their knowledge of Doric until they had a wee reason to, a wee prompt. I became quite fluent in it. I could understand people. I could even write it. And I did a lot of work because of my own research on Scots. I became familiar with the writing of the language and the problems associated with that in the medieval period through the book of the Dean of Lismore. But that prompted, that made me aware of the riches of Scots. And when I went to Aberdeen, I enjoyed interacting with the Scots speakers. But as I said, in the Tún, Aberdeen Tún, they had what one of my informants would call Tún Doric.
Mm-hmm.
She was a secretary who was the Celtic secretary in the university for many years, Liz, a great lady. And she spoke the Queen's English beautifully, Scottish Queen's English. But I was well aware that just below the surface there was Scots. And I took it into my head, because we were on to email by that time, to write her letters in Scots.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember the response. Immediately a letter back in Scots saying, you know, I didn't think you could write that sort of thing. Do you ken the leading? And so on. And suddenly we were underway actually writing letters to one another in Scots.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said to me that, you know, there was a considerable reservoir of Scots in the actual city of Aberdeen,
mm-hmm.
which was not being used because people were using English for particular purposes.
Yeah.
It was a very proper city,
mm-hmm.
when it had to be. But if you just went a little below the surface, suddenly you had this wonderful Scots.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the whole experience, I think, culturally in Aberdeenshire. It was great fun. And mm-hmm. now, you know, away from it for a couple of years, I look back at it quite fondly.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to be doing in the future?
It's a good question. I've been professor in Aberdeen and in Edinburgh for some years, and now I'm getting close to retirement. But I'm going to keep on with my scholarship. I've loved scholarship over the years, particularly that relating to Gaelic. And I'll probably keep on with that. I'm engaged at the moment in various projects, in editing of Gaelic texts. I'm completing my edition of the Book of the Dean of Lismore, the Gaelic ballads in the Book of the Dean. And these Gaelic ballads are written in a spelling system based on early modern Scots, and it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be keeping going with that type of study, I'm quite sure, into the future, doing other things as well, trying to renew my Tyree roots in the fullness of time, get back to the boat building. Get back to the crofting, get back to the, I suppose, the contacts with the natural world, which I have perhaps had less of when I've been living in basically urban environments.
Yes.
Living quite happily most of the time, I have to say.
Mm.
So I'll be doing many things, I think. I suppose top of the list is always the calling of being the scholar and discovering new things. I think that's always the exciting bit. It's what keeps us all going, I think, in our job.
That's right. Well, thank you very much. That was very interesting.